All right.
We're on. How you doing?
I'm doing great. How are you?
Good. So,
Carmine.
I'm doing great.
Hey, have you registered for Mix yet?
Are you kidding? No marketing.
Yes, for the next 4 months, every interview is going to start with a Mix
okay,
of
Mix
09.
Okay, Mix 09 would be great. Right on.
So here we are with Ariel.
Hi.
How do you say your last name?
Stallings.
Stallings. Yeah.
There's a middle name too, but it's not important.
Okay, you say so. So, you are the microspotter.
Yes, I am the microspotter.
What is that?
Microspotting is I guess the easiest way of saying it, it's a PR blog, ultimately. But the goal is to kind of challenge some of the assumptions that people have about the evil empire and what it's like to work here, and that Microsoft is just a big Borg and it's a faceless corporation full of faceless robotic people doing faceless robotic work. And personally, my goal is to get just kind of the personality and character of Microsoft employees out there. But, of course, I do work for staffing marketing, so there's a whole strategy behind it and a lot of thought that goes into what particular messages we're sending and blah, blah, blah. It's marketing.
So technically, you're a recruiting.
Technically, although I'm not a recruiter. I support recruiters. I don't do any recruiting of my own. I just do materials that hopefully recruiters can use in their recruitment process. So yeah, technically it's part of staffing. Technically I work for HR, which is kind of funny because I'm a walking HR violation pretty much.
I was going to ask you, how much trouble have you gotten into?
None yet. Thank goodness.
How much of your stuff has gotten shut down or tweaked?
Very, very, very little. Okay. Very little. I think there's actually starting to be sort of a growing understanding that accessibility and conversational tone doesn't necessarily mean that, just because it doesn't sound like legalese or marketing speak, it doesn't mean it's a bad thing. And I've got a little, I call it the duh disclaimer that's on every employee profile on microspotting that makes it very clear these are the opinions of the employee and don't reflect the company's larger vision. So, I cover my butt where I can, but so far it's been a great experience and everyone's been, I did a microspotting calendar.
Ooh.
That features some of my favorite, you can also see behind me, some of my favorite profilees. And legal even approved Mr. February, who's a Olympic swimmer. He was trying out for the Olympics to represent Nigeria, but he's also a developer. So, legal has been great. HR has been great. Everyone's
cool.
Been really supportive. It's been really exciting and really fun.
So what's an example, a specific example of how you prove that we're not the evil empire?
I really look for unique stories about everything from, of course, there's the classic, and in fact, I think you interviewed her, Jillian.
Yes.
Jillian
the Goff.
Yes, my beloved Goff in The Office, where it's just such a great example of Microsoft really respecting people's lifestyles, and whether that's, I'm a soccer mom who needs to leave at 3 to go pick my kid up, whether that's, I'm coming in late because I had a goth fashion show last night. Like, there's just so much respect for the diversity of people here. What was the original question?
People that you have interviewed that you're proud of show that we appreciate diversity.
Right, so she's a great example. I've also spoken, recently I went down to the Bay Area and spoke to people from several different teams that have been acquired about what it's like to work for, say Telme, this company that does directory assistant stuff. And then all of a sudden, you work for Microsoft, and what's that like to sort of be... is it terrifying? Is it right? Are you being just absorbed and can you still make an impact? I talked to some folks at Danger and Sidekick. And so there's not just interesting people, but there's interesting stories about, I didn't apply for a job at Microsoft. I applied for a job at Danger and now I work for Microsoft. And what's that like? And that's been really exciting too, to just kind of get the breadth of stories in terms of how people come here and what they do once they're here and what they enjoy about it.
So 80,000 employees, how do you find these people? How do you find the most unique stories that float to the top?
Yeah, it's a really organic process. I wish I could say there's some sort of crazy strategy. I mean, I definitely think a lot about wanting to have a diversity in terms of diversity. I mean, on every scale of diversity, that's kinds of job. What business group do people work for? What kind of product are they working on? And then kind of the more traditional diversity. But I also really, really rely on, I mean, sometimes I spot people physically. I'll see someone walking by and stop them, mm-hmm. which always makes me feel like I'm a stalker or like I'm hitting on someone where I'm like, wait. Let me give you my card. I want to talk to you. But I get a lot of nominations, mm-hmm. Which is great. I always need more nominations. I always need more nominations. So people email me at spotted@microsoft.com and give me, you know, here's a story that someone who might be interesting. And of course I get more nominations than I can profile, but it's, you know, I 80,000 people, I can't be everywhere.
And so you write a blog, mm-hmm. essentially.
It is a blog. It's formatted like a blog. But it's got comments like a blog. The newest post is at the top like a blog, but it's definitely pretty focused on employee profiles, mm-hmm. so it's not as much, a lot of blogging is linking to other people, and I'm more focused on original content and going out and interviewing people, and, I mean, it's not that different from Channel 9,
right.
It's just kind of a different format.
And is that your main gig?
That is my main gig. As a part-time employee, that's a big focus. I also do, work with, staffing, marketing, social media stuff, like Facebook, and, my team is getting ready to work on the Global Careers site, which is a big, you know, microsoft.com/careers, a big project that's coming up. So I do have other projects that I work on, but microspotting is my primary focus.
And how long have you been at the company?
Coming up on 2 years in February.
So let's talk about this, the part-time thing.
Flex time, work time,
gig that you have.
Yeah.
Tell us about it.
Oh, I love being part-time. Even with the economy being tight now, my husband just got laid off, and it's still, like, part-time is where it's at. When I was first offered this job, my first book had just come out, and so I was in the process of a book tour and a lot of promotions and a lot of press work, and so when they offered me this position, it was originally offered at 4 days a week, and I just didn't have 4 days a week to give, so I said, I'm available for 3, and that's all I've got, and luckily they were willing to...
So are you technically 24 hours, or...?
I just bumped up to 28 hours. Mm-hmm. So now I'm Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and then checking my email on Monday and Friday.
Wow.
So, I think part of what makes my job so easy, I mean, microspotting is all about talking about how great it is to work at Microsoft, and it's part of what makes my job easy is the company's been hugely flexible in terms of working with me on my schedule and, you know, job sharing and part-time, and I really find that Microsoft walks its talk when it comes to finding alternative arrangements that work for the talent that they want. So, I mean, I had my manager had mused at one point whether I was a loss for the company because I'm only part-time, so Microsoft only gets me 28 hours a week, and is that a loss? Or whether I'm a gain for the company because I wouldn't be here otherwise.
Right.
And I was like, I wouldn't be here otherwise. it just wouldn't happen. So I think it's really just a huge benefit, and I wish more companies were as understanding that, especially when it comes to women in the workplace. Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't have any kids. I have my book instead, but that there's so many, you know, women are trying to do so many different things, and, I mean, men too, but that there's so many different things pulling on you that in many cases you get employees that you would not otherwise have access to.
Absolutely.
When you offer alternative work arrangements, whether it's job sharing, part-time, flex time, compressed work weeks with, like, the 410s. I just think it's really a great example of Microsoft walking its talk when it comes to flexibility and understanding how employees do their best work.
Very cool. So I was going to ask, how do you fill your time when you're not here? But you mentioned a book.
Yeah.
Congratulations.
Thank you. Tell us all about it. First book came out almost 2 years ago now. It's funny because the work I do for microspotting and my book, they kind of intertwine. The book is about non-traditional weddings. And I run a related website that's all about featuring and profiling people who've had non-traditional weddings. So, I mean, you wouldn't think that non-traditional weddings and Microsoft have anything to do with each other, but in both cases, it's looking for unique stories and really interesting people who are doing things their way and being awesome. I mean, there's a lot of similarity in the work that I do, both for Microsoft and then outside of Microsoft.
So what's the book called?
It's called Offbeat Bride.
Wow, so how did you get started in that?
I'd been working with a literary agent for a while in New York, and we were trying to figure out, should I do a memoir, should I do this, should I do that? And I was planning my own weird wedding in 2004, and the idea bubbled up to do a kind of a, it's a memoir service book kind of hybrid. Right. So it's like half my story and then half other people's stories and tips and advice and guidelines. And
so you're not old enough to have a memoir.
I'm older than I look.
What kind of interesting life have you had? You're ready to tell your life story.
Yeah, you know,
And the question really is, how did you land here? So what is the path that you took?
I come originally from a journalism background. I got my start working for an electronic music magazine in the mid-90s. And from there went into doing kind of tech writing. Actually, I had my first contract with Microsoft in 1999, the first of several, and then went into doing copywriting with Amazon and a lot of online, you know, dot-com bubble, did a lot of online writing, and have kind of straddled back and forth between business writing and journalistic freelance writing, and then I spent a stint of time as an editor for Movies.com, which is part of, or was part of, the Walt Disney Internet Group, and have done work as a web editor for web hosting companies. I did time as a marketing writer for the Seattle Times. I've done a whole lot of business writing and then freelance writing, kind of back and forth and back and forth. And most recently, before I was here, I worked for a Seattle startup called Jobster.com, which was Web 2.0, social networking and job hunting and recruiting. And it's sort of funny because I've spent 12 years of my career, a lot of time being a contractor and a freelancer and spending as much time looking for work as I was working. I was always job hunting, always kind of looking around for whatever I was going to do next. And so it's really strange to find myself now in the staffing industry where, like, now I'm on the other, like, I sort of feel like I spent so much time looking for work in my 20s that now I've, like, mastered it. Now I'm working on the other side, helping people find jobs. So, Jobster was where I was before I came here. And when there was, of course, as dot-coms can have, there was a big round of layoffs. And half the company got laid off, and I was like, that's it. I'm freelancing. Totally back to just freelance writing, promoting my book, and working on my stuff. And then I got a call from Microsoft, and I wasn't, I kind of had my standard, like, not interested, I'm not working full time, and then I found out it was a part time position, and that got me in the door, and I started asking questions, and all the answers were great. So here I am, 2 years later.
But no technical background.
I've worked in the tech industry for 10 years, but I'm not a developer. I mean, it's definitely, I've done tech writing, tech editing, and a lot of work with startups, web retailers, online publications. So a lot of tech industry, but I'm not a developer. I'm not a tester.
But it takes all types.
Right. Mm-hmm. Totally. That's the point. Totally.
Well, 82% of the company are not developers. So.
Right. But probably a lower percentage has a technical background, just because they're not currently today a coder or a programmer or something, or an engineer.
Sure. I don't know. I think we've, especially in the series, we've found that you don't have to be technical to work at
Microsoft.
Right,
and that's what we like to illustrate.
Right. I mean, that said, I'm completely a geek. Like, when it comes to microspotting, I did it's all set up on a content management system that I set up. I produce every single post. I write the code, you know, I code each post, and
cool.
So I'm a huge web geek. I'm not a coder, but I've been blogging since 2000. I had my first website in 1996. Had my first internet date in 1992. I mean, like, there's definitely, like, me and the web.
You're around it.
Best friends for a long, long, long time. While I'm not, like, a techie, I'm definitely a massive geek.
Did you take all the pictures that are in this calendar?
I did.
So are you also a photographer?
Yeah, you know, that's the funny thing. I've always identified as I'm a writer. I wrote a book. I'm a writer. And then as part of microspotting, you know, of course, web writing, people don't want to read a ton of words. They want to look at pictures. So I was like, well, whatever. I'll bring my camera in and take a few pictures to go with the profiles. And it's very odd because now that I think the writing's great, but now I keep finding that the people like the photos the photos resonate more than the writing half the time. People are really, really excited about the photos. So somehow now I'm a corporate photographer. I don't really know how that happened, but it's super fun. And, I mean, shooting portraits is, I love it. It's totally, it's been, you know, Microsoft is all about growing your skills, and who knew? All of a sudden, now I'm a corporate photographer, so.
Interesting.
Very cool. Yeah. Some of these are cool pictures. I'm looking at your wall and also what's coming up on your...
Oh, yeah, the
yeah, some really
yeah
nice shots.
Thank you.
So, other than your book, or before maybe you started your book, were you not interested in working full-time?
I think the issue for me has always been that I think a lot of creatives go through this. I have this balance of these creative projects that I work on, but then, of course, obviously everyone needs to pay the bills. And so I'd sort of gone on like a... My work cycle was like this sort of binge cycle where I'd like work full-time, a contract, or even a permanent job for like 6 months to a year, and then I'd stop and work on a creative project. And so it was sort of these like pitches, and it's hard to maintain, and I was getting burnt out, and it became really clear to me that my ideal was not work full-time 80 hours a week for 6 months and then take 6 months off and spend 80 hours a week working on my personal projects. It was really wanting to have live-work balance, right? Like,
right.
All about that balance. And so I had avoided permanent jobs for a long time because I just wasn't able to get the balance there. I mean, I had one job, there was a website that was, we were reworking, and it was supposed to launch at 11 o'clock, and then it was 12, and then it was 1, and then it was 2, and then it was 3, and there was a certain point where I found myself at 4 o'clock, sitting under my desk, resting, waiting for the website to go live, and I had this moment of just like, I can't do this anymore. I can't, like, the working until 4 a.m., there's not time for my other projects, and my other projects are really important to me. So, I mean, because there's Offbeat Bride, but then I do this event called the Salon of Shame.
Yes!
And, I mean, I have a whole...
Can I just say, I'm trying to go for like 3 months, it's always sold out by the time I want to go buy tickets?
We're doing, the pre-sale tickets now make things way easier.
Yeah, but you're not doing one in January, right?
February. February 17th is the next Salon of Shame.
So you, like, organize that?
Yeah. I'm the founder and producer, so
awesome.
Every 2 months. I mean, you know, it's, again, like, this is why I'm only part-time. It's because I'm trying to juggle all these other things. Yeah, it's a bi-monthly reading series where people stand up and read their old, worst adolescent writing. So terrible old diary entries and awful unsent letters and awful poetry and miserable essays, and it's really, really funny. I kind of weirdly so, like, it's cathartic, like, it's almost sort of like this therapeutic process. And in fact, I've convinced, do I have this picture up here? No. I've convinced one of my microspotting profilees came and read at the Salon of Shame that happened last night. John Mulhausen, who works in Xbox, came and read a terrible stand-up comedy routine he wrote when he was 17. So it's just a surprising thing that reading terrible writing from high school can be that funny, but it is. It's funny, and it's been weirdly sold out for 3 years, so I don't know.
Yes.
Good luck.
Wow, that's interesting. What else do you do?
Salon of Shame, Offbeat Bride. I'm working on a new memoir that's not anywhere near being done yet. Walk my dog. I have a very small dog. Camping, hiking, I mean, you know, there's a lot of stuff that happens during the summer. Of course, all of Seattle, like, it goes crazy during the summer and gets out and do
yes.
it. But most of my work is focused on writing. There's a lot of, I mean, the Offbeat Bride website takes a lot of my time, so.
So I want to know how you landed the interview with Minnie Microsoft.
How did
that go down?
My interview with Minnie, you know, and I'm still trying to get him one of these shirts, right?
Also, it's a him.
Well, that was actually one of my questions was, are you Megan Wallant? Because I was like, that would be the ultimate identity coup. If, you know, we all think you're a man, but you've transitioned and you're confused, you know, you're leading us all on. Anyway, I've wanted to get him one of these shirts because everybody who I profile on microspotting gets a shirt. And, you know, we've emailed back and forth. I'm like, can I drop it somewhere and then leave town, a secret secret location? I'll put them in 3 secret locations, and you can just swing by one of them or send some, you know, we haven't figured it out yet. I wish I could say there was some big coup to it. I sent an email to the email address that is listed from his site. And I think he had already seen my corresponding at that point, because she knew who I was, and responded right away, and was very agreeable with all the questioning. You know, it was very clear about the boundaries of the questions that could and couldn't be answered, which I totally respect, and had some great answers, and it was a fun interview. It was really fun, and it was fun trying to figure out what photo to show, because, of course, every single profile has a picture, and so what picture am I going to show for Mini Microsoft? And I don't know if you remember the one that I did.
What did you show?
It was basically, like, I drew on a whiteboard, like, this random person saying something.
Oh, I love it.
And then it was, like, me with a pen being, like, oh. So, you know, there's Minnie.
So that one was done, obviously, in email.
Yeah, that was done via email.
But you do most of yours in person?
Almost all of them are done via in person, face-to-face. I just find that since so much of the website is focused on this really conversational, accessible tone, the last thing I want is for someone to feel like they're writing a press release or, you know, I'm now representing the company. And I think that in email that can happen more. One exception to that rule is Matthew Baldwin, who I profiled recently, who's actually a local blogger who blogs on defectiveyeti.com. And he is a hilarious writer. I mean, he's very funny in person, too, but he's just a hilarious, hilarious writer. And I am familiar enough with his writing style that I knew the best interview was going to be a written interview. So we meant to take the picture in person, but I did the questions via email because I wanted the maximum amount of wit, and he delivered. It was a great interview.
Excellent.
I like your blue hair.
Oh, thank you. I call this indigo.
Indigo, yes.
Indigo. It used to be pink, but I've darkened for winter.
Another example of how anything goes at Microsoft.
Totally,
right?
Totally. And you know, it's really, I think Microsoft kind of set the standard industry-wide when it comes to, we don't care what you look like, just get your work done. That's mm-hmm. that's all that matters. I mean, that said, I've sometimes dealt with, outside of Microsoft, having different, you know, when I go to conferences, it's all pulled back and tucked in a little bun and, you know, the seriousness comes out, you know, get very serious when I'm at industry events, but which usually works. I did just get called cute as a button on an industry blog. I had to send the blogger an email and say, you know, 10 years of industry experience, and, cute as a button. And he was very kind. He took it off, and, you know, I get it. I've got braids, like, that, sure. Like, right? You're wearing pigtail. Like, he doesn't, right. I'm okay. But it's definitely, I kind of get spoiled in Microsoft, within mm-hmm. the culture of Microsoft, because no one's like, oh, cute, is it? You know, it's, right. Everyone's kind of on equal ground, as long as your ideas are good and you stand up for what you're saying. I've never felt like I've had any trouble getting the respect I feel like I deserve,
right.
Because I look like I'm 12 and have colored hair. Outside of Microsoft, sometimes it's more challenging. And, again, that's when, like, the little black blazer and the bun and the pink glasses go away. And there's definitely kind of an internal culture and an external culture.
Mm-hmm. So that's kind of a great segue into some questions about diversity, since this is the Women in Technology series,
yeah,
specifically
yeah.
on Channel 9.
Yeah.
You're probably in an organization, I'm guessing, that's dominant, more women than men.
Yeah.
Probably,
yeah.
Which is probably one of the few divisions at Microsoft that mm-hmm. has more females.
Yeah.
So in your 2 years here, and talking to lots of people from all walks of life, what has been your experience as a woman at Microsoft?
Yeah, you know, I feel like Microsoft really walks its talk when it comes to working with women at Microsoft in terms of women's needs as employees as compared to just general employee needs. I have found, you know, there's the networking, the women networking opportunities here are amazing. And again, as a woman in the tech industry, there's definitely times when I've felt condescended to, and I just haven't felt that ever at Microsoft. And especially since many of the people I profile are devs, testers, PMs, I'm getting to talk to a lot of women who are in very technical roles where, you know, I talked to a tester where she said she would be in big department meetings of 50 people, and she's the only woman in the room. And And while sort of recognizing, like, wow, this is weird, I'm the only woman in the room right now, it was never an issue. It was never, you know, she never felt like it was a challenge or something that needed to be overcome. So I feel like the company does a great job of really encouraging and supporting women in the tech industry, while at the same time acknowledging the challenges that are there. I mean, you know, it's definitely... especially for women with families, and I mean anyone with a family, it adds a lot of challenges. But I think there's really a lot of consistency in how the company approaches it.
So it sounds like you're really happy.
Yeah, I mean, I like I said, it makes my job way easier when I'm supposed to talk about how great it is working at Microsoft. When like I totally enjoy working here. The company has totally worked with me, flexibility-wise and culture-wise. And I mean, when I had my interview, part of my questions to the hiring manager was, you know, do I have to be to work before 10? Is it a problem that I have a foul mouth and am totally known for, like, accidentally cursing and at inappropriate times? I hate meetings. I'm really bad at meetings. Is there going to be a time? You know, like, I was very upfront, because I was kind of in this freelancer mode and felt like I had nothing to lose. I was very upfront about, you know, here's my needs as an employee. And there was just so much flexibility and respect for sort of, you know, we like the work that you've done and we want you here. And if you, you know, as long as you get your work done, we don't care if you have a foul mouth and pink hair and, you know, hate meetings and show up to work at 10.
Excellent.
Yeah.
So from the community outside of Microsoft, not legal or anything, have you had any negative reactions to anything that you've ever posted on Microspotting?
On Microspotting, you know, I really have not. I've had very positive, I've been very lucky, I think. I mean, maybe I shouldn't credit it to luck. I'm so amazingly talented that, no. I really have had a lot of positive feedback. I was invited to speak at a Blog Her Business event that was all about social media and women working in PR and social media to talk about what it's like blogging for Microsoft. And I mean, it's really just been... very, very positive, and I think part of that is that there's so much kind of stereotypical negativity around Microsoft, and, you know, we've kind of come through this, as a company, this sort of humbling phase, and I think because Microspotting is sort of about acknowledging that and self-deprecation, I mean, I Am the Empire, like, is totally saying, yeah, people say... we're the evil empire, and we get it. Like, we know that. We're not going to argue that people have said that. We'll laugh at it. I think people really respect that sort of self-deprecating, self-aware tone. Like, it's just something that people are really... Mm-hmm. It sounds weird to say people are ready to see from Microsoft, but I've found that people have been really welcoming of it because it's not the standard... It's not what people are used to, I guess. Mm-hmm. So, so far, fingers crossed, it's been just really positive and reception's been great.
Did you start it or did you inherit it?
No, I started it. I founded it. Mm-hmm. I was hired to be a roving reporter. Mm-hmm. Was kind of the roving reporter, going around campus and finding interesting stories, and we're not even sure where those stories will go. Mm-hmm. And because I've been a blogger for so long, I'm very... focused on push-button publishing, and if I, you know, talk to a great profilee, an amazing employee who I want to write about, and I took this amazing picture of them, I want that online tomorrow, today! How fast can I get it online? And so, you know, I was kind of picking up stories, but there wasn't anywhere immediately for the stories to go, and I guess I'm just kind of an instant gratification junkie. I just, like, I had these great stories that I wanted to get out as quickly as possible, and so setting up Microspotting is kind of its own little freestanding empire, whatever, site, meant that I could get these stories out as quickly as I could collect them, which it really feeds my need to get stuff out as soon as I have it. But also, I mean, you know, the joy of blogging is then there's RSS feeds, and people can get those stories as quickly as they want them. And
do you know much about who's reading your site? And who's...
Yeah, I do a lot of tracking, and it's been interesting to see. The site was originally conceived as a way to reach what's known of as passive candidates. Mm-hmm. So there's active candidates, which are people who are actively looking for work. They're unemployed. They're looking for a job, whatever. They're in a job they don't like. They're looking for a job. Those are active candidates. Passive candidates are people who already have a job. They're not even looking for a job, but we know that someday they will be. Mm-hmm. And maybe they would never think of Microsoft, and maybe if they see something that makes them think twice about it, they'll consider it the next time they are looking for work. Or if a recruiter calls them, they might not immediately be like I was, mm-hmm. which was, no, I'm not even interested.
Right.
So that was the original intended audience, was outside Microsoft, passive candidates, just sort of tech industry people who maybe someday could work for Microsoft. What's been really interesting for me to see is the response inside Microsoft. Mm-hmm. And at this point, I think it's close to a third of my readership is Microsoft employees. Mm-hmm. And I get emails that say things like, oh, I didn't know we were this cool. Like, mm-hmm. So it's turned sort of strangely into almost kind of an internal... I mean, it's definitely not internal. It's written external. It's, right. You know, everything I write, knowing that Mary Jo Foley is reading it, and, you know, right. It's very much an external-facing PR strategy. But at the same time, I recognize that there's 80,000 people working here, and we all want to get to know each other, mm-hmm. and this is one more way that, you know, you can get to know who's working down the hall or across the country or...
Right.
So it's been actually really surprising in that regard to see how much internal response there's been to something that was originally very much an external-facing project. Hmm. So
which blogs do you read? I mean, who do you follow on a regular basis?
Oh, gosh. My feed reader, I think I have about 150 blogs in there. So a lot. I mean, I kind of follow all the big... public Microsoft blogs, of course, but then a lot of internal bloggers like Dara Basanjo and, you know, all those folks many of whom I talk to, then I read their blog for a while and then I have to go and track them down and interview them. And then, of course, just a million personal blogs, and I read some marketing blogs like Y Pulse is a really good blog that talks a lot about Gen Y, because mm-hmm. Of course, obviously, in terms of staffing marketing, that's who we're thinking about kids, college age kids. Yep. It's weird to call people in their early 20s kids. College age coming in. So I definitely focus on kind of like Gen Y marketing mm-hmm. stuff as mm-hmm. well, and a lot of social media, Jeremiah Aoyang and social media folks, and of course, you know, Cute Overload and all the usual suspects. My favorite blog right now is a blog called BuzzFeed. Anyone heard of it? Uh-oh. BuzzFeed?
Never
BuzzFeed.
Heard of it.
It's a group of editors who are monitoring online trends, like URL trends, Google trends, mm-hmm. Yahoo trends, MSN trends, New York Times trends, and then acting as an editorial filter to say basically here's what's causing the biggest buzz on the web today, and it's everything from, you know, stupid puppy videos all the way to guerrilla marketing, all the way to news people, characters that are showing up in the news that you've never heard of before, mm-hmm. and so BuzzFeed.com is my favorite right now.
Cool. So what have been a couple of your favorite stories or profilees that have really inspired you?
Oh,
what stands out?
So many. I mean, John Mulhausen, who I mentioned reading at the Salon of Shame, was really a great profilee, just in terms of, you know, he was a Nintendo, worldwide Nintendo championship finalist when he was 10 years old and had this lifelong dream of working in gaming and, you know, just kept pursuing it and kept pursuing it. And ultimately, you know, now works for Xbox, but at the same time was pursuing a music career, so he's also got this whole music thing going on. I loved talking to Fola, who's the Olympic, he was the Olympic hopeful. He was like, you know, 0.001 second short of his goal, but just hearing how he, I think there's so many stereotypes about, you know, so many geeks and our only exercise is like click, click, click. And so I love getting the stories of Microsoft athletes who are like, you know, developers are not all just kind of lumps sitting at their desks. So I love those stories. I mean, I definitely have a, because I'm a creative, I love the creatives. I, again, like Jillian, just someone who's not even like, I'm an artist, but just her lifestyle is so interesting and such a great window. And I loved talking to her about how she felt like she was an ambassador for both the goth community into Microsoft, but then also an ambassador of Microsoft out into kind of her alternative community. People are like, what? You work for Microsoft? But I thought you were cool. You know, they're just kind of that ambassadorship. That was a really interesting story. I'm trying to think. I mean, I've talked to so many people. Let me look at my wall.
How many do you do, like, on average?
I do. I try and do one a week. It's usually, you know, three a month. Sometimes I'll get sick or be out or whatever. Right. Someone slips through the cracks. I mean, I've talked to MSR employees who are Oscar winners. I've talked to Ian here, who he's been at Microsoft for 17 years, and he's had so many different jobs in that time that he doesn't even print his job title on his business cards anymore, because by the time
it's going to change.
So getting those career stories of you know, 17 years, that's just a whole industry's worth of stuff going on. Gosh, who else?
Do you purposely try and stay away from execs?
You know, originally my focus was very tightly honed in on developers, SDETs, program managers. I do talk to senior folks here and there, like general managers. Megan Wallant is the GM. Ian Ellison Taylor is higher up. But part of it is that I like getting, this is going to sound bad, I like getting really authentic conversations with people. And sometimes execs have been trained and groomed really well. Right. They're like, well, in my experience. And that's great. We need them to do that. But they've got the mainstream media to do that. Right. There's too much polish. And in fact, when I send people their profiles to approve, I always let people, you know, if they need to make little changes here and there. The only concern I have with people's edits is if people edit it to make it sound polished.
Right.
Because
it's not real, it's not authentic.
It's not authentic. And Microsoft as a company, like, we don't need anymore. Like, we have a great corporate, we have international PR firms and a great legal team to make sure that we're putting, like, when it comes to, like, big statements, we're putting a very polished foot forward. But when it comes to, like, really getting to know the people here and appealing to just the personality, polished is great, but I really like a little bit rougher around the edges.
Right. So do we.
Yeah.
That's why we won't allow you to review this or approve it before we post it.
Exactly.
Right.
The Channel 9 thing.
Yeah.
So.
We do that with execs, too.
Yes. Yeah. Sometimes that's a little bit more painful.
You get in trouble, though, sometimes. It's fun.
You've been awfully quiet over there, Charles.
Well, I want to ask a question about, since you've been doing this for so long, the question is simple. Is there a culture at Microsoft?
Oh, yeah. I definitely feel like there's a culture at Microsoft.
There is a Microsoft culture.
Like a single
Of course. Right. Worldwide? Global? Hard to say. Okay. Hard to say, and likely not. Is there a culture that I've seen in the Redmond office, Boston office, the several different Bay Area offices I've gone to? I feel like, yes, there is. And I think the best example of that is an experience I had actually when I'm a graduate of the Columbia Publishing Course, which is a graduate training program at Columbia University's Graduate School of Journalism. Mm-hmm. And when I went to that program, I had blue dreadlocks. And, so here it is. It's in Columbia. It's very Ivy League. Yeah. And there was a whole session. It's all for people going into the publishing industry, mm-hmm. which, you know, was interested in doing magazine work, so I was there to see what I could learn. And there was a workshop about resumes and interviews, and okay, as you're heading out into the wild world of publishing, let's talk mm-hmm. about how to present yourself. And, you know, it was very much focused on, take out the nose ring, get a nice suit, cover up your tattoos.
Corporate up.
Yeah, corporate up. And I, you know, up goes my hand in the hallowed halls of Columbia University, and I say, well, you know, I found in my experience, and this was speaking from my time as a contractor at Microsoft, I found in my experience that actually having blue hair has helped me, that it's given hiring managers a conversation starting place, and that it's helped make me more memorable. It's kind of a, you know, personal branding has been actually a really effective way to help me move around in my career. And the woman looks at me and she goes, let me guess, West Coast, right? And I was like, yes. And clearly that's where I belong. And I feel like even though obviously Microsoft has spread far beyond just Redmond and far beyond the West Coast and far beyond just the United States and far beyond just North America, that some of that, you know, we don't care how you do it, just do your work. Mm-hmm. You know, that ethos has kind of, again, I haven't been to Hyderabad. I haven't been to Shanghai. Like, sure. I can't speak for all the international offices. But from what I've seen at the Microsoft offices domestically, that very West Coast, but even specifically Northwestern, kind of like, oh, you're wearing a fleece and some jeans. We don't care. How smart are you? Mm-hmm. That's all we care about is how smart are you. I feel like that is a really consistent thing. I've gotten this question, like, why don't you profile someone who worked for them? And I'm like, well, you know, we all know that story. Like, if it's, you know, well, why don't you profile someone who works on something not in, you know, like, I've done Zune and I've done Xbox, and those are sexy products. Well, you know, I've done products that don't even really have names and are, you know, so tiny and granular that even as the developer is telling me what they do, I'm thinking, I don't really even get it. Okay. You know, because it's just this time I work on the kernel of the and there are interesting stories there too. Absolutely.
Humans are inside the Death Star. Period.
Yeah, I mean that's nice. The moral of the story. Mm-hmm. That is the moral. I mean, in one of I just did a microspotting post about everyone who'd gotten an I Am the Empire shirt who'd sent me back a picture, and one of them is someone wearing a Darth Vader helmet. With his I Am the Empire. And that's just like, that's what I love about Microsoft is that self-deprecating sense of humor about, like, we know the company hasn't had the greatest reputation and acknowledging that and not sort of hiding behind, oh, no, well, we're the world's preeminent supplier. You know, like, okay, that great, sure, multi-billion dollar, blah, blah, that's awesome.
Right.
But, you know, warts and all, just kind of get into it and acknowledge the people that make up the company.
Cool.
Love it. I'm good. I don't know.
This is good.
Come on.
And that's what we're doing now. So now you're on camera.
Right.
You're not going to end with one of your...
One of my random, crazy questions? Mm-hmm. Well, we sort of covered... pretty much everything. I mean,
provoke.
There's a similarity between what you do and what we started with Channel 9.
Absolutely.
With Channel 9, we, because of me primarily, we ended up going way too technical. Because I don't really like doing interviews about people.
Right.
And that's because I'm one of the assholes that I was talking about interviewing. but in all seriousness, it's cool. There's a nice synergy here. I like the fact that you're showcasing. The rank and file.
Right.
Because they actually are the ones that do all the work.
Right. Yeah, it's definitely, I mean, you know, the folks in the trenches are the ones that are...
Cool. The trenches are a nice place to be at Microsoft.
Hey!
There's rivers of caramel.
Of what? Right?
Caramel.
Oh, I was like...
And caramel.
Caramel. What, caramel's not a word?
I think
so,
potato.
What's next after Offbeat Bride?
Yes.
I am working on a memoir of the mid-90s electronic music community, West Coast.
Wow!
Nice.
So, Sex, Drugs, and Techno. That's not the working title.
Okay. So is your book for sale in stores?
Offbeat Bride? Oh yeah, it's everywhere.
How's it doing?
I mean, it's a niche book, right? Mm-hmm. Not everyone is throwing a non-traditional wedding. It's been really educational for me to see how the book is done versus how the website is done. And
let me guess, the website's done better.
I will just offer this statement that I have made as much from advertising on the website in a month as I made from book royalties in the last year.
Wow.
I love the web.
So, God bless the web.
Mm-hmm. Right. But did you do the whole thing, like a book signing, a tour?
All, oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah?
The whole bit.
Tell us just a little bit about that. What was that experience like?
It was really interesting. I did a bunch of events in Seattle, San Francisco, Los Angeles, and New York. They were ridiculous. I made everyone wear little wedding veils and threw out a fake plastic bouquet to give away T-shirts. And, I mean, my goal with the book and my goal with the events as well was that even if you don't care about weddings, it should be entertaining. Mm-hmm. Like,
sure.
You know, I don't even care about weddings, mm-hmm. honestly. Like, I'm interested in interesting people and celebrations and how people voice their commitment to each other. And that happens to be weddings. But I'm mostly interested in the interesting people. And it's the same thing, you know, like, that's, if people are entertained, then that's what's important. So the readings were, yes, there was a reading, but I also tried to just make it a fun, you know, ridiculous. And most of my readings I actually didn't do at bookstores. I did them at bars.
Cool.
Because a bookstore is sort of a, you know.
Well, the offbeat, yes. Right. Right. The author's got to be offbeat from a bookstore.
Totally.
Very
are you
cool.
famous? Do you get recognized?
I think those are two different questions. The first answer is no, and the second answer is yes.
Why? Because of the hair?
I mean, I've been writing online for almost a decade. I host a local event that a lot of people come to. I wrote a book. I mean, there's definitely, I mean, my husband's had to get over, my husband and my dad both have had to get over people who read my blog approaching them and being like, so, I mean, it's micro celebrity, right? Like, that's part of the web and that's part of the blogosphere is I certainly am not famous in any way, but it's like niche recognition is, that's the joy of the web. That's the joy
absolutely.
Of the web.
Do you have a Twitter feed as well?
3.
Wow.
Work, personal, and?
I have the microspotting feed, which mm-hmm. is work. I have the Electrolicious feed, which is my public blog. And then I have my personal feed, which is where I'm actually like, I'm going to this cafe. If anyone's, you know, the private, not open to stalkers, not random coworkers. So I have a lot of, filters and separation of church and state and my online identities.
Yes, yeah. I hear that. Stage names, they're important.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, thank you.
Absolutely.
Sure thing.
Good.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
A pleasure.
That was really interesting.
Yay.
Keep up the great work.
Yeah. And
I read your stuff.
That's awesome. And if anybody watching has any nominations for interesting people to talk to, spotted@microsoft.com. I'm always, always looking for great stories.
Excellent.
Diverse, interesting, awesome people. So,
right
yeah.
on.
Cool.
Thank you.
I can think of a few.
Perfect.
Right
email
on.
Me.
Are we done?
Yes.
Wow. That was sort of sudden.
Well,
we're supposed to delay it and start it, and thank you for your time.